Falcons fans, we are just 2 days. One day tomorrow.
Well, 2 full days. It's, you know, 48 hours.
Right from the top, you know it's going to be a great show.
We are
when you don't know what day it is, which has kind of been the theme around here.
Yeah.
But the draft, the NFL draft, the 2013 NFL draft is Thursday night.
78th annual.
As we record right now, it is, what is this, Wednesday morning, right?
It is Wednesday morning. It's 11 a.m.
Okay. So tomorrow night, the NFL draft will get started, and it is one of my favorite events. And we'll do some talking about the draft on today's podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. Jay Adams, Daniel Cox here from the Falcons training facility in Flowery Branch, where all the magic will happen this weekend.
It is magical.
A lot of magic.
Yeah.
So let's talk about some things. There's some things to talk about, I think. We're gonna throw a little draft stuff at you. We're going to talk about some of the press conferences that have happened over the past week or so. Maybe touch a little bit on a player who was traded to another team in the NFC South and how that impacts the Falcons. We'll have our most interesting thing from the internet that we found, and maybe we'll give you some more picks at the end of the
Everyone else is picking. Why can't we?
Yeah, I know. I just don't like to. I don't like being held to a standard.
I understand.
Yeah.
Well, we can negotiate that.
We'll negotiate. All right. So that's what's ahead on today's Falconcast podcast. Thank you once again for joining us. All right. So let's start off with a couple of press conferences in the past week. Thomas Dimitroff held his annual pre-draft press conference, had a lot of interesting things to say. Also, Matt Ryan and Jonathan Babineau spoke yesterday. As the Falcons got their voluntary workouts going. And let's just clear this up right now. These are not OTAs. It's not what is called OTAs. It's just voluntary workouts. Falcons OTAs don't start until May. And that's when you'll see guys get out on the field and do a little practicing, running around and all that kind of stuff. So this is just voluntary workouts. I've seen the term OTAs thrown around a little bit on Twitter. But just to clear that up, this right now is not OTAs, it's just voluntary workouts, but great to get the guys back in the building. There was a good turnout yesterday, as there was on Monday, and you know, they'll continue to come in and work with the athletic performance staff and get ready for the 2013 season. And it really is, you know, you think about the draft and you think about voluntary workouts, it is really the signal that 2013 is here, isn't
it? Absolutely. You know, this for a lot of them, that's the first time they've been back since they left at the end of the 2012 season. So, and you're right, it is voluntary, but there were, you know, from what I saw, the turnout was strong, and it did have a first day back to school feel yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There was a little bit of a touching up around the facility as well, and there was a it's funny. I was walking through the halls and it smelled like a specific type of plastic, and it reminded me of the first day of school and those Velcro Trapper Keepers that we used to have.
Yeah.
And they had that real strong plastic smell.
Yes.
And it was something that crossed my mind. But yeah, I mean, it's it does kind of signal the beginning of the new season. Everyone's getting back to work, and certainly Thomas Dimitroff and those guys upstairs have been hard at work for weeks and weeks now. And tomorrow night kind of starts, it's basically their Super Bowl, you know, this is their playoffs, this is what they work all season for. So,
and Thomas says it all the time that this is his season, you know, Coach Smith's season is during the fall, and this is Thomas's season. And so certainly they're ready. And you know, some interesting things, you know, Matt mentioned, we were talking about workouts, Matt Ryan mentioned yesterday that he spent after the season about 6 or 7 weeks coming into the facility to rehab his shoulder. Of course, we know that he injured his shoulder during the NFC Championship game, but he spent 6 to 7 weeks coming in, looking at film, working out, rehabbing, getting himself healthy again before he even took a week off after the season. And that really struck me. You talk about the qualities you want in a quarterback. You want a guy who loves to be in the facility.
Yeah.
And nobody loves to be here more than Matt Ryan.
And that's what you keep hearing that. And Tony Gonzalez, in so many of his interviews, he always references that with Matt, how, you know, the first guy in, the last guy out, that whole thing. But just his desire to do everything that he can, do what it takes, but, you know, but just the constant studying, the preparation, just over-preparing. I remember last year when we were running the What's Brewing segments with Coy Ware, and the first one we did, which was definitely worth going back, was Coy Ware and Tony Gonzalez. And Tony said, I think it was the position that he would least want to play other than the position that he plays. And he said quarterback, because he just said there's just so much work that goes into it, and he's just so has so much respect for Matt and the effort that he puts in. But to go back to that, you know, the injury at the end of the season, Matt did speak to that. He said he's been training really hard to get back into a position where he can kind of begin the off-season workouts on the same page with everybody else. He's not being held back. He's not behind. So he's ready to go. He's in good shape, and it's getting ready. Here it comes, 2013 season.
I mean, it's upon us.
Yeah.
Thing is, fans, you know, for us, when we're inside the building, I mean, it'll move really, really fast for us. I know a lot of people, I've seen a lot of tweets about, you know, oh, my God, is it football season yet? And I've even tweeted stuff similar to that because, you know, we all love the season. It's why we do what we do and
absolutely
why fans are who they are. But rest assured, I mean, this is the signal that 2013's here. And, of course, the league year started at the beginning of March, but, you know, free agency and everything. Mm-hmm. But this is really when you know it's right around the corner. Because here's the thing. You're going to have the draft this weekend. The following weekend, the Falcons are going to have their rookie minicamp, which will be close to the public, but it'll be the rookie minicamp. OTAs will start shortly after that. Then you'll have your veteran minicamp probably in June. Players will, after that, they'll go away for about 6 weeks. 6 weeks later, they come back, training camp starts. I mean, we are on the cusp,
really.
Once we get past the draft, it is smooth sailing to the start of 2013 training camp. So it's right around the corner. It is coming up.
Yeah.
And, you know, let's talk about the draft a little bit because, I mean, obviously it's the big thing this week.
Yeah, it's tomorrow, Jay.
It's tomorrow. It's a little bit like Christmas Eve because, you know, and look, you and I, we delve into the players, the prospects, the guys who are there. We take a look at, and not just in the first round, we look at guys second, third, fourth, fifth, and so on. And so we, at this point, I feel like we know about as much as we can at this point in the year. There will still be probably 90% of the picks where we're like, huh?
There will be a point, I'm sure, when the Falcons will draft someone that you and I will probably look at each other.
That's what I'm saying, is that we'll be like,
there will be those question marks.
Who is this guy, right?
Above our heads.
And so it's always a lot of fun because as much as we've learned and as prepared as we feel, there will certainly be some curveballs that will be thrown.
Absolutely.
And this is why we do what we do in the front office and the scouting department do what they do. But it's really interesting. It's a fun time of year.
Yeah.
I love this time of year. And make sure to check AtlantaFalcons.com throughout the weekend. We're going to have some really fun stuff. We'll have exclusive interviews with our draft picks shortly after they are called. And just a ton of stuff, analysis. Our draft hub, which I'm excited to unveil.
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome.
Absolutely.
You're going to get so much information that your head's going to explode, which is always an exciting problem.
That's always our goal.
So, there's our shameless plug. But let's talk about, you know, Thomas Dimitroff, his comments a little bit about, you know, I think what struck me is that, you know, Thomas is a guy who plays things very close to his vest. You know, very rarely do you get these nuggets of information so freely like we got in his press conference last week, just when he was talking about, mobility and moving up and or moving down or just getting out of the spot that you're currently in. And I think there's enough of his history that you can look at and say, okay, well, it's a foregone conclusion that he's open to moving. And I think maybe that's why he was so open about talking about that particular subject. But interesting that he mentioned on a couple of different occasions during his press conference that the Falcons are going in with 11 picks. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean they're coming out with 11 picks.
Right.
His words.
Those are exactly his words.
Very interesting. So I don't know how you all watch the draft at home, but if you're expecting the Falcons, you know, to be picking at a certain time and you're going to watch, you know, Real
That's
Housewives
to,
or something all the way up until a time you think that, that the Falcons are picked, you can miss it.
Yeah.
Because that stuff is going to be happening constantly. Yeah. I mean, that, you can just draw that from Thomas's past and what he likes to do in the
draft. Absolutely. Do you feel like, and this is relevant to this, do you feel like there's a little more excitement, at least in the Falcons nation, amongst fans, for instance, about this year's draft?
You know, I do. And it's I think maybe it's because there's been such a telegraphed hint that there could be some movement.
Mm-hmm.
Now, look, this is silly season, though. You need to remember.
Yeah, smoke and mirrors.
It's smoke and mirrors right now. And it gets even worse as we get into tonight and into tomorrow during the day. You're going to hear so much and so many different things that may not happen. So I think you got to take everything with a grain of salt. However, I think when a guy like Thomas comes out and says, you know what, we've got 11 picks, we've got some flexibility there, I think you can draw the conclusion that he's going to at least try to move around a little bit. And we're not just talking first round.
No.
We're talking second, third, fourth, fifth, and so on. You've got some stuff to play around with. Again, you know, the Falcons have four compensatory picks. You can't trade the compensatory picks, mm-hmm. but it makes the other picks that you do have a little bit easier to part with.
Mm-hmm.
So knowing that, you go in and you can give up a fourth rounder. You can give up your fourth rounder that you have to move up somewhere.
Yeah.
But you still have another fourth rounder from mm-hmm. the compensatory side. So you're still getting a fourth round pick.
Right.
So really, you're not losing it. You're gaining.
Mm-hmm.
You're gaining in every aspect. So when you play it smart like that, and you've got to think that that's what Thomas does. He plays every move is calculated. Every move is smart. Every move is well thought out. You know, when you see if the Falcons are going to move up and they give up a fourth round pick, you know, well, a fourth round pick is a great pick,
mm-hmm.
but they've got another one.
Yeah.
So really, you're gaining the way I see it, if you're going to move at all, you're gaining one way or another.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, 2010 was the first big deal that in the draft or that shocked a lot of people, you know, when Thomas traded up to get Julio. And then, you know, of course, there wasn't a first round pick last year. So I think there's some excitement in that regard as well, because there's actually a first round pick. And even Thomas himself said it last week. He said he felt really good about going into this draft. He felt it felt solid. He said it felt good to go in with 11 picks, having a full draft, including that first rounder. He felt like he had some leverage there. But you're right in terms of the deal making, Thomas. He said, I think it's very clear that we are open for big deals as well, should they ever come across our table, and it's something that we're interested in. He said he's open to do business. And you touched on it to begin this conversation. Having 11 picks doesn't mean we'll come out with 11 picks. And I just continue to think about that. And the way I think about it is, and we've had this conversation before a couple of times, walking into the draft, you have to think about the players that you want to acquire and who do they replace on your roster. And
right.
Granted, there are some open roster spots technically already, but you still have to think about that. Like who if you're going to take some guys, who do you give up? And I don't feel like there's a lot of roster spots that maybe the Falcons really want to give up, because I think they like who they have on the roster. So I just have a hard time seeing them walk away with 11 players from this year's draft.
Yeah, I'm with you. And Thomas has said, what, somewhere around eight, nine. I mean, it's certainly much more manageable. And, you know, a lot of that is going to be to rebuild some of the depth, too, because you lost a couple of guys in free agency.
Yeah.
You've got some positions that you need to kind of fill back up.
That's true.
So not every pick is going to be, you know, your starter, your guy who's going to come in and make an immediate impact. You're going to get some development guys, but certainly you're not going to end up with 11.
Yeah.
I mean, look, if they end up with 11, they end up with 11, but it just seems like that won't be the case. Because like you said, you've for every person you draft, you've got to lose one eventually, you know. Now, you don't have to cut down to 53 until the end of August, but in your mind, you've got to be like, okay, you're going to draft this person to replace who? Because you've got to think, okay, we're not going to draft this guy if we don't think that he can make this roster and make an impact or provide competition for somebody. Well, who is that person that you're trying to provide competition for? And that's a tough decision. That's a very tough decision. So, certainly some interesting things on the horizon, I would think. Just my guess.
And the depth of the draft, is you've heard that repeatedly as well, and that's something that's exciting as well. You know, in that second round, having the ability to maybe take your first-round pick and then maybe move up in the second round with some of those expendable picks as well and grab another guy that could be a starter and at the top of the second round maybe. That's things like that make it really exciting when you start thinking about having the ability, you know, to walk away with two top guys at a position or something like that. I personally feel a little more excitement than my excitement level, I think, is a little higher than it has been in past years. Just, you know, the addition of that first round pick and just the wide open aspect of what can happen this year.
Yeah, and I think this happens in every draft. You know, we've talked about this before. When you pick at 30, there's so many things that can happen before you pick, and that influences ultimately what you end up doing. And we mentioned it last year when, or 2 years ago, excuse me, when the Falcons had number 27, they obviously traded up to number six to snag Julio, so that didn't really become a concern. But, you know, when you sit so far back in the draft, so much is happening before you pick and stuff you haven't planned for, because somebody's going to take somebody that they shouldn't.
Yeah.
Happens all the time.
Absolutely.
So, you know, it influences everything that, that happens after that. So let's do something interesting here. I know this isn't on our podcast script, so I'm going to go off the script a little bit.
That's okay.
But my question is, who's the guy that you're looking at who's not going to get drafted by the Falcons?
Okay.
Who you're most interested to see where he ends up? Who's the one guy that you're like, I'm kind of interested in following his story?
Marcus Hunt.
I like him.
Yeah. He
So you don't think he ends up with the Falcons at all?
I think there's a possibility. I think he has intangibles and specific athletic characteristics that I think Thomas and Coach Smith certainly like. You know, the length and the motor and the athleticism and all that stuff. And he's got that background as a world class Olympian or Olympic hopeful at least. And that says, I think that says something about his work ethic as well. And you know, some of those things. I think he's a guy that could become a player like J.J. Watt, a really versatile defensive lineman that can do a lot of different things. And I've enjoyed the things I've read about him, seen from him, heard from him. I'm curious to see where he goes.
It's interesting.
Because I'm curious about the fit with the team that selects him and see kind of how they want to use him. I'm curious about that. He's a guy I've got my eye on.
Very interesting.
What about you?
For me, you know, obviously I think I want to see what ends up happening in the saga that is Manti Te'o. I think that's just an interesting story. And
absolutely.
I'm very interested to see how he's going to be accepted into an NFL locker room after everything that he's been through. So certainly he's a guy that I'm like, okay, other than guys that we would draft, and I'm not saying that we wouldn't draft him, I haven't heard his name associated with us at all. So he's kind of an interesting guy. I like I want to see what happens with these quarterbacks, man.
Yeah.
Because this is one of those weird drafts where, you know, even in recent years, okay, so the Sam Bradford draft, the year escapes me. It was Sam Bradford and everybody else.
Right.
And so you knew Sam was like the top guy. All right. You knew the Rams were going to take him. And then after that, it became kind of like a mishmash. Like, here's a guy you could take him in the first round if you want, but he's probably more of a second rounder. I think this draft is exactly like that, except there's no Sam Bradford. There's no one guy that you look at and you're like, okay, he's the top quarterback.
Yeah.
Because who was it for a long time? It was Geno Smith. Well, now everybody's down on Geno Smith. I've even heard him people saying that he's going to be a second rounder.
Yeah.
So now you now I'm hearing, well, Buffalo really wants Ryan Nassib, and that makes sense
because
you've got Doug Marrone from Syracuse. Is currently the head coach of the Buffalo Bills. You've got your quarterback from Syracuse. You're running the same offense. He knows the offense. Seems like a natural fit.
Yeah.
Can play in the cold.
But he seems like a guy that can you can kind of make you can wait on, maybe trade back up into the first round and grab.
Exactly. But here's what I was talking about with stuff that happens that shouldn't.
Yeah.
Okay? Because conventional thinking is, and I've heard, I've seen these reports everywhere, everybody who's in the top 10 wants out. They want to trade back. I think if you're a team that wants to trade up, if you've got a guy you're eyeing, I think it's going to be really easy to get into the top 10.
That's interesting. And you hear Mike Mayock talk about it a lot. And he talks about it with quarterbacks, but I think he means it with really any player. If there's a guy on your board that you feel strongly about, that he's a guy that can be a franchise guy for you, whether it's a linebacker, cornerback, quarterback, whatever it is, if you feel that way about him, you got to go get him no matter where it is in the draft.
Right. But here's the other side of that, okay? You talk about needs versus best player available all the time. All right, so you're Buffalo, you need a quarterback, okay? You're Buffalo, you need a couple of things.
Right.
But you need a quarterback. You need a franchise quarterback. You haven't had a franchise quarterback since Jim Kelly.
Yeah. Okay?
Look, I know.
Right, I know.
I'm a converted Bills fan. I'm from that area. I know this team. But this is just an example of what I'm talking about when you're picking at 30 and how much things can change.
Yeah.
But you talk about best player available, okay? So Ryan Nassib at number 8, where the Bills are picking, is not going to be your best player available. I don't think by a long shot.
Right.
I don't think by a long shot. Is he going to be your best quarterback available? It depends on your analysis of him. Maybe you've got him as your top quarterback. Maybe he's just the best quarterback available at the time if any of the teams before take him. But do you take him, who you know kind of a risk at number 8, you know you'll get him at number 8, or do you take a BPA situation? Maybe not a position in need, but somebody's going to help you out right away at a different position. And that's the question for a lot of these teams in the top 10, especially a Buffalo, who has pretty much made it clear that they want to trade back because they feel like they can get Nassib later. And I think they should be able
Seems
to get
like
him
it.
Later. So, but if they take Nassib at 8, okay, how does that affect the rest of the draft? If they don't take Nassib at 8, how does that affect the rest of the draft? Because I guarantee you that there are going to be some teams who have been saying quarterback, 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 who get on the clock and they get a little gun-shy. Because I don't think any of these quarterbacks are surefire franchise quarterbacks. They're going to take some time to develop and kind of see where things fall in the next couple of years. But you've got some players at other positions that are surefire players. So now if you've got these teams that you're thinking, the one thing I've seen is the Jaguars. Okay, I've seen that the Jaguars want maybe taking a left tackle. Okay, well, that's not really a position of need. It's a huge value pick, but do you need a left tackle?
Yeah.
I don't think they do. So if they take a left tackle, which is a BPA situation, you obviously value this position.
Yeah.
So highly that you're going to bring in a guy who you may not need at a position. Well, how does that affect the rest of the draft? Who falls?
Yeah.
And I think that's a question. You're going to have some guys that are targeted that don't get picked where they probably should because you've got it's a big game of roulette.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're just gambling on everything.
And that we've talked, you and I on this podcast have talked about the quarterback thing and how it affects the draft numerous times. And then Thomas mentioned it last week. He felt like number 30, if he was in a position where he wanted to trade back, he felt like that quarterback situation could play a role in that. And it's so interesting, though, because I've seen reports, you know, there's only like 5 or 6 teams that really need a quarterback, which is kind of strange. So this whole – everything about the quarterback situation, you're right, to kind of wrap that up, to go back to what you said as far as what you're watching is pretty interesting. And then I was thinking about this morning, and I was like, I haven't even heard of this guy's name for like a week. Matt Barkley? Where does he fit in all this?
Yeah, and everything, you know, I had heard months ago that he's top 10 pick.
Yeah.
Now he's a second rounder.
Yeah.
So everybody's saying, oh, he's a second rounder. Well, what has changed? It's like Bjorn Werner.
Yeah.
You know, the defensive
back. All of a sudden, he's sliding,
From Florida State. We're hearing D. Milliner is sliding to the point where I saw a mock last night that has him going to us at 30. Here's a guy that people were saying, there's no way this guy gets out of the top five. Now he's sliding down to 30.
Yeah.
It's silly season. It's exactly what I said. It's just there's so much silliness that's going on, and you can't really get your finger on the pulse of what's happening. The thing is, that's our perception. What's happening on the other side of the building, completely different story.
Yeah.
They know what they're doing.
And they're schemesters to some extent, and I don't mean that to sound in a negative way. They want to do what's best for their team, and they're going to do whatever it takes, whether it's sending out a mixed message to the media, using that to their advantage. Hey, it's all within the playbook. You know, they're allowed to do these things, and they do. They're just trying to do the best job for their team.
Well, let's. It's going to be interesting, and like I said, fans, we're going to be all over this all weekend. So make sure you stick with us on Twitter, on AtlantaFalcons.com. We're going to be all over the draft. So if you're dying for draft coverage, we will be there to satisfy.
Yes, we will save you.
Okay, all right. So we're speaking about. This is my attempt at a segue. We're talking about how things affect the Falcons.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that's going to affect the Falcons was the trade last week of Darrell Revis.
Earlier this week. You said last
week.
I'm sorry. It's
so
no big deal.
Here's what I'm going to do the rest of the time.
I know.
I'm not going to mention what day of the week it is because I have no concept.
It is currently April 24th, 2013, but I only know this because I'm looking at my computer.
If you were wondering how much I've been working lately, this should tell you. Okay, so this was not many moons ago. This was actually just a few days ago.
Yes.
But anyways, Darrell Revis traded to the Buccaneers. Arguably the best cornerback in the league now in the NFC South as Tom Brady rejoices that he has left the AFC East.
Yes.
So the question is, how does this impact the Falcons? What's your immediate thought?
Immediately, it affects
so
the
you have no immediate thoughts.
No, you know me, man.
I know.
I have to put my thoughts together because they are sometimes jumbled. I think it certainly affects the Falcons. The number one cornerback coming into your division obviously is going to affect you. I think it can slow down the Falcons' offense. I think, for instance, here's a scenario I saw and I thought about yesterday. I could see a scenario where they use Revis to cover one-on-one with Roddy. Because I don't know if anybody one-on-one can go against Julio. Mm-hmm. I just don't think it's possible.
It's tough.
And I think they maybe do use some double teams on Julio. That gives them an advantage, an ability to combat that a little bit. And I feel like one of the reasons Tampa finished last in pass defense last year, obviously, but I think one of the reasons they wanted to bring this guy in is because they're dealing with New Orleans and all they can do and an interesting offense in Carolina with what Cam Newton can do, especially with that deep ball he can throw, and then what's going on here in Atlanta with our offense and how special it can be. They had to improve to be competitive, I think, against passing offenses, and that certainly is, that makes them improved. I see all the new additions in the secondary for them, Goldson, Barron's entering his second year as at safeties, those two safeties. That's a lot of new guys there to come in and play a part of the defense that is so relationship oriented. They have to have a feel for what each guy is going to do on the field instinctively, and I'm not sure they're going to be able to get there this season, but it's certainly a good move for them. But I'm not sure it's going to just turn things around for them so quickly.
Yeah, I'm kind of on the same page, but I feel like it makes them a better football team immediately. And when you make a big trade like that, that's the goal.
Absolutely.
So
yeah, no doubt.
I think they made themselves better. I think the question is still out there, how is he after the knee injury? How is he rehabbed? Is he going to be healthy? Is he going to be back to his old ways?
Yeah.
My thing is, as it relates to the Falcons, and I kind of made this point over the weekend on Twitter and Instagram, is it's tough with the Falcons because, okay, you add him, you add Golson during the offseason, so you've bolstered your secondary.
Absolutely.
You still can't cover everybody.
Yeah.
You know, it's so hard with our offense, the way it is, and the playmakers you have within this offense, that if the scheme is run the way it's supposed to be run, it's impossible to cover everybody. Somebody's going to be open.
Yeah.
Because, like you said, nobody can match up with Julio one-on-one. If you play one-on-one with Roddy, that's fine. Roddy's going to get his fair share of wins in that battle. You've got Harry underneath. Steven Jackson comes into the fold, who can catch out of the backfield.
Right.
The running game, I think, is going to be much better this year. So you've got that to contend with. Little guy by the name of Tony Gonzalez is pretty good.
Little guy, yeah.
So, you know, you've got a safety or you've got a linebacker matched up on him.
Yeah.
I like that matchup any day of the week.
Absolutely.
You get your quiz involved. You've got Jason Snelling involved. But how about another guy that, I mean, if he stays healthy, all right, he could really have an impact on this offense. And it's going to be, everybody's going to be like, oh, yeah, I forgot about him. Brady Ewing. Okay, Falcons drafted him last year, fullback out of Wisconsin, blew out his knee in the preseason, and unfortunately spent the year on IR.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not forget that this kid can really contribute in the passing game.
Yeah,
I mean he is, as far as the screen game goes, being dump off guy, being an outlet guy. He is the goods. He's not big. He's not your like big bruiser like Ovi was. Okay, or even Mike Cox, but this kid, I mean, he's a great fullback, but he's a safety valve.
Good call.
In that backfield. Yeah. And I think, like, that's just another thing if you're a defense that you have to watch out for. And I think he's going to take some people by surprise. Like I said, if he stays healthy and he lives up to the expectations, you know, I think he could be a guy that you're like, okay, well, there's another weapon in this already prolific offense.
Yeah. I love the deception of the running back core that the Falcons have and how they can easily disguise what they want to do with really versatile guys now in the backfield. And you're right, I had not even considered Brady Ewing and his ability to do that. And it just fits in with that now. You got Brady Ewing, Steven Jackson, Quiz Rogers, and Jason Snelling. You can even throw Anton Smith in there. All guys that can run the ball, but they can also – they have probably what I would say above-average running back receiving ability. So they're very versatile there. So it's no longer – this guy's in the backfield. It's a dead giveaway. It's their cue. Yeah. It's the other – it's the defense's cue. You hear that a lot. I got to check my cues. That's their cue that they're going to run the ball. So
right.
I love that disguise there now with that versatility with those guys.
Yeah. So anyways, I think the point we're trying to make is that one player doesn't make a team, and we hear that all the time, and we say it all the time too, is that, you know, one player, you know, like a couple of years ago, the addition of Julio Jones does not make our entire team, you know.
Right,
the addition of Steven Jackson does not make the entire team. It's the whole – it's the sum of its parts.
Mm-hmm.
So does Darrell Revis make the Bucs better? Absolutely.
Oh, without a doubt.
Without a doubt, but I think – it doesn't make them completely unbeatable. I think it makes the matchup against them much more interesting.
Yeah,
because
definitely.
There's certainly...
I mean, I look forward to seeing a Roddy Revis
I can't wait.
Battle.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. Just as a football fan in general, I mean, that's going to be a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah.
So, seeing him twice a year would be a good time.
Absolutely.
All right, well, let's get on to our Falcons Flash, the most interesting thing that we found on the internet all week. That didn't involve maybe an LOL cat. Because that's all I look at a lot of LOL cats.
Well, Falcons-related interesting things, as we should say. Because I've seen some interesting things.
I've seen some interesting LOL cats. That's for sure. Shout out to LOL cats. All right, so Daniel, why don't you go ahead and lead it off?
Yeah, this is from a little bit ago, but I came across it looking for some other stuff. I came across it at the Falcoholic. One of our favorite websites.
Love those guys.
Yeah, they're awesome. This is from SI.com. This is Don Banks, who's one of the better guys in the business. He had the He called it the front office power rankings. So we're
interesting.
Now we're not just ranking teams, we're ranking front offices. But that's cool. He had Atlanta Falcons at number 6, which I think's pretty nice. That's a nice place to be.
It's a good place to be.
Other company they had, obviously, okay, his rankings was 1, Baltimore, 2, Green Bay, number 3, the Giants, number 4, New England, number 5, Seattle. I have a bone to pick with him on that one. But number 6, the Falcons. And then 7, San Francisco was round out the top 10. 8, Indianapolis. Number 9 is Pittsburgh. And 10 is Houston. I don't think there's any real big surprises there. But I just pointed out again, just because I think we've been beating this drum now for a while, is this idea that the Falcons don't get any love nationally. And I think we're starting to see that change. And I think you and I, on record on this podcast and on Twitter and all the other mediums, have said anticipate that the change in the coming, certainly this coming season. But number 6 in the front office power rankings, that's based on who's in those top seats in those franchises, the decisions they're making, and how well those decisions impact the team positively. So kudos to the Falcons for that.
I like it.
Yeah.
Now I want to see a power ranking of NFL digital media specialists.
Yes.
Across all 32 teams and see where we come
good.
In.
Hey, I think we're up there.
Top half of the league, I'd be happy.
Yeah.
There's a lot of talented people.
Yeah,
out there.
No doubt there. No doubt.
Talented colleagues that we have.
Mm-hmm. I'd be very happy with the top 10 power ranking there.
Absolutely. All right, so now it's my turn. We'll get a little bit somber here, but obviously what happened in Boston last week was
right
tragic, and I don't know about you, but I was absolutely glued to the coverage.
Yeah, I watched it.
Still am.
Oh, Friday, yeah, it was. I don't think I honestly don't know that I watched TV for a longer stretch consistently than that.
Yeah, just a crazy. Crazy set of circumstances. I mean, I'm trying to find the words here, but they're not going to do any good because nobody's really found the words to really put everything into perspective there. But probably the biggest thing that I have seen and noticed is just the Matt Ryan's involvement in the Boston Strong movement. I guess we can call it that at this point. But the Gwinnett Braves here in Atlanta. Or outside of Atlanta, excuse me, the AAA team for the Atlanta Braves will be holding a Boston Strong Night on Tuesday, May 7th at Cool Ray Field in, I believe it's Lawrenceville. Mm-hmm. And Matt Ryan will be there among other former Boston athletes, including former Red Sox catcher Jason Veritek, former Patriots safety Rodney Harrison, former Celtics guard Dee Brown. All throwing out the first pitch at that night. Of course, Ryan played his college ball at Boston College. Still has friends and family up in the Boston area who were affected by the events of last week. And so certainly a cause that is very close to his heart, and he's extremely involved. And the great thing that the Gwinnett Braves are doing is for every ticket sold online to that game, $5 are going to be donated to OneFundBoston.org, which is benefiting the victims of the Boston Marathon tragedy. So if you are local and you would like to see Matt Ryan up close and personal, because I've been to Gwinnett Braves games.
Yeah.
It's so much fun.
Oh, yeah.
Love that stadium. Great location. Great family time. Take the kids.
Yeah.
Such a good time. I love going to games there. If you're in the area, even if you're in downtown Atlanta, take a trip outside the perimeter for once and, go check out the Gwinnett Braves. It's for a good cause. And Matt Ryan will be there. You'll get to see him up close and personal. And aren't too many times you get to do that.
No.
So,
I see him throwing a pitch.
Yeah.
Not a football, no less.
It'll be fun to see.
Yeah.
I'll be out there.
I'm going to go. I'm definitely going.
Yep. I'll be out there. I'll be tweeting and all that kind of stuff. So, anyways, if you're free that night, head over to AtlantaFalcons.com. I've got a post up on the site with a link for tickets, so you can easily access that and get out and see Matt and celebrate benefit a good cause. All right, so let's get on to our wrap up. We're really gonna do a final mock draft here.
Yes, sir.
First three selections. Picks 30.
Hey, and you
60,
can do anything you want. Yep.
92.
30, 60, 92. Yeah. Okay. Basically. Okay, these are your picks to work with.
Okay. So you got three picks.
Uh-huh. You can do what you want with them. Right. Who do you want to walk away from the draft with?
Leon Sandcastle.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, man. I've heard that name. That guy.
I know. I know it. All right. You want me to go first?
Sure.
I got kind of an idea.
All right. Good.
All right. So 30, 60, 92, I'm keeping all – well, I'm keeping two of those picks. I'm going to keep 60 and 92, okay? Because I feel like if I look at – if I've read the draft value chart, which is kind of like hieroglyphics, but – and it involves, like, math and numbers and all this kind of stuff that is foreign to me.
Addition.
Yeah. My interpretation is that for a fourth-round pick – maybe like maybe a seventh or maybe a sixth. You can move up a few spots in the first round.
Okay.
Not give up a whole lot. You can still keep one, two, and three. All right. So I'm going to do that.
Okay.
I'm going to move up. I'm going to go ahead and trade with, I don't know. Who's a good trade partner? All right. Here's one that makes
Miami.
Sense to me. Miami. Here's another one that makes 12. Sense to me. You've got, there are a couple of GMs in the league now who have worked with Thomas Dimitroff, and they have relationships, one of those being St. Louis Rams general manager, Les Snead. Les has two first-round picks.
Oh, yeah.
One of three teams, I think, that have two first-round picks this year. He might be willing to part with one of those for a couple of more picks later on in the draft. So I'm going to say possible. You trade up to 22. I think maybe you pick up – I'm going to say if he's still there – I'm going to say Desmond Trufant, cornerback out of Washington.
Okay.
All right, so there's my pick at 30, which is really 22.
Okay.
Your turn. Or do you want me to go through all
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, take do your whole selection, man, unless you need a moment.
No.
Okay.
All right, so at 60, again, a lot of different things can happen. I really think there's a couple of guys who are going to fall.
Okay.
All right? I really, really, really do. And could fall as far as 60. In the second round. I'm going to stay at 60, although it's tempting to move up, to give up 92 and to move up to a better spot in the second round. Because, like I said, there's going to be some of your first-round guys who trickle into the top part of the second round. I don't know if you can get there.
Mm-hmm.
That's my only question. So I'm going to stay at 60, and I am going to take, I hope I pronounced this correctly, Auburn defensive end Corey Lemonnier.
Nice job, Jay.
Is that how you pronounce it?
It sounds right. I'm convinced.
I-E-R. If I'm French, it's Lemonnier. If it's not, it's Lemonnier. I don't know.
I think he did a nice job. Works for me.
Anyway, I think he's one of those guys who falls victim to the – he's a very good defensive end.
Mm-hmm.
I think he just falls victim to the plethora of talented defensive ends in this draft. So, he's my guy there.
Okay.
92. It's tough. I think this is when you start thinking about, okay, you don't worry so much about position. All right. You start worrying about how this person can help you.
Yes.
Okay. I think the Falcons are going to go into this draft thinking that they're going to address the return position at some point. And I think this is a good time to do it in third, fourth round.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to find a guy who, you know, maybe plays wide receiver, maybe plays cornerback. That's not the reason you're drafting him. You're drafting him more as a return specialist. Am I really going to troll Dave Choate here? I think I am.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. Let's see if Dave makes it this far in the
Really.
Dave Choate from the From the Falcoholic.
The ultimate test right here.
Tweet him your tweet him your thoughts at the Falcoholic on this pick. 92. Let's go with Honey Badger.
Oh, man. That's right. I looked at it this morning, but I okay. Honey Badger, man.
If he's there.
Has there ever been a more popular potential third round?
Look at this. I'm sitting at my desk, ESPN the magazine, who's on the cover?
Honey
That's
Badger.
That's my omen right there. That's what I'm saying. All
right. You're right.
So for Dave Choate of the Falcoholic, at 92, I have the Falcons selecting LSU, former LSU cornerback, Tyrann Mathieu, the Honey Badger.
The Honey Badger.
Make sure you tweet that picture today.
Yes, I will.
He will be thrilled to receive it. And make sure you send all of your Honey Badger related thoughts, comments, concerns, and questions to at the Falcoholic on Twitter. But those are my three. All right. So Desmond Washington.
Desmond Trufant.
Sorry.
Yes, from Washington.
From Washington. Corey Lemonnier. If I'm just going to pronounce it that way until I'm told.
Say it like you know it.
Lemonnier. It's fun to say, isn't it?
Yeah, totally.
It rolls off the tongue. Honey Badger at 92 for Dave Choke.
Cool, man.
Those are my three.
I like the picks. I like the pick of Honey Badger.
Okay.
Assuming that you trust that he's in good shape. He's not going to – we're not going to fall back into some of our bad habits from the past that got him into some trouble at LSU.
Yeah.
You know, and by all accounts, and he's been all over the place on the internet, all the shows, discussing the draft, and he's handled himself very very well. So, you know, we'll see. He's speaking of guys that you're interested in. He's a guy I'm definitely curious about watching and seeing what happens. Okay, I'll go ahead and make my picks. You're gonna hate me.
What are you trading? You're making moves, aren't you?
I have two scenarios.
Okay.
I think you have to trade up at this point. So I'm going to trade up, and I don't necessarily have a place how high I'm going to go. I don't know all that stuff. That's just kind of beyond me. but I think it's going to take a second round pick to get there.
Okay.
And they do. I'm with you, cornerback Desmond Trufant.
Okay.
I like the guy. I really like him. I'd love to see that. If that doesn't happen and they sit tight at 30, well, let me go through this. I'm sorry. So if they trade their second round pick, we'll take Trufant with the first round pick,
yep,
and then they have a third. I'm gonna go kind of off the grid a little bit here.
Well, I did.
John Jenkins, defensive tackle, out of Georgia, big guy,
huge guy.
Yeah, I think we're gonna continue to see more three or four looks in those hybrid things that. We saw a little bit from the defense and Coach Nolan last year, but I think they need a guy that's big enough to help with the run-stopping duties. And I think that's an area that they want to get fixed that kind of troubled them a little bit last year. So I think that's a pick that I feel like could really help the defense. It's not an edge rusher. It's nothing like that. But I think I'm a big defensive tackle guy. In general, I feel like you can do a lot. You can solve a lot of problems by fixing things on the inside. So those would be my three picks. And again, in that scenario, we lose the second round pick to trade up. If we don't make that trade and we sit tight at 30, I'm still going to go with cornerback. I'm going to go with Jonathan Banks from Mississippi State. At the second round pick, I'm going to go with the same idea. Big defensive tackle. We mentioned him weeks ago. Jesse Williams, the Australian that plays that was down at Alabama. Another similar style. I think that he's ranked a little higher, obviously, than John Jenkins, but big guy, clogged the middle. I like it. And then in the third round, in that scenario, assuming he's there, but Chase Thomas, linebacker from Stanford. I like him. I think he's an All-American, but he's just had a strong, solid, consistent career at Stanford. Just put up numbers, big numbers. He has some pass rush ability. He's probably not the fastest guy around, but you know he's quick. He's mobile. He can move around and do some things. And I think it's a good value there. And I think they want to add and you know, going back to Dave's mock draft, he added two linebackers throughout that draft, and I think I'm on board with that. I feel like he's in the right neighborhood there. Just I wouldn't necessarily say upgrade, but just adding to the depth of the linebacker position. And Chase Thomas just seems like a guy that has Falcons qualities written all over him. Smart guy as well, Stanford grad. So,
well, since you got to have two scenarios, I'm gonna, because I didn't get to have a scenario where I get to just make the picks where they stand. So I'm gonna make those picks, and I'm gonna do that real quick.
Okay.
Just so we're, because I'm trying to hedge as much as I possibly can, so when we don't pick anybody that I've picked, nobody can come and say, "Oh, well, you got it wrong." Well, yeah, I got it wrong. I'm not that good at this. All right, so I would say if we stay at 30, if he gets there, I would say Tank Carradine, Florida State defensive end.
Mm-hmm.
60, I think Jonathan Banks' teammate, Darius Slay, cornerback from Mississippi State, will still be there. I think you take him there. And then 92, I'm going to go with, if he's still there, again, Cincinnati tight end Travis Kelce. Those are going to be my three if you stay put.
I like that.
But I will say, and I think this is an interesting point as we wrap this up, but defensive tackle is an interesting, it's kind of an overshadowed thing. Everybody's looking at defensive end, tight end, cornerback, but the Falcons, you know, really could be in the market for another defensive tackle, and one of those big guys, one of those big run cloggers.
Yeah.
So who knows? We could be wrong too.
You think?
Well, I'm pretty certain that we're wrong. Yeah. I mean, who knows?
Real quick, this is in honor of your mother.
Well,
so
that's an interesting way to start.
Your mother, who you told me was, I think, her favorite thing about the podcast, and she, like my mother, listened to the entire thing.
Yep.
One of two that we know for a fact listen every single week.
Yeah, we are always going to have two listens on the on the podcast.
Yeah.
Because Lord knows I'm not going back to listen to it.
Yeah. Whatever happened. Yeah, it's in the past.
What are you going to do?
She loved the Beaver facts that we had. We had some other facts along the way. We've done some stuff. So here's a fact in honor of your mother.
Okay.
Not about beavers, but I find it interesting. I follow a really awesome account on Twitter called Factive.
Yep.
So, you know, I cannot prove the legitimacy of these facts, but they are interesting. And this is one just came up a little bit ago, so I'm just going to throw it out there to end the podcast and to hopefully make your mother smile,
okay,
wherever she may be.
She's at home in New York.
Yes. According to the Factive, if you sold all the valuable parts of your body, you're worth about $615,000. I'll throw out another one just because. Babies have no depth perception until they are about 4 months old.
No depth perception.
Yes, depth. What did I say?
I thought you said death perception.
Death perception. Well, I can vouch for their lack of depth perception, but depth. Depth perception.
Well, there you go.
That's
Carol,
a tough one.
Carol will be extremely pleased to know those two facts and to listen to your pronunciation of the word depth.
Yes.
Any more facts?
That's We're just gonna stop it there.
Okay. All right. Well, that's as good a place to stop as any. Well, Falcons fans, thank you so much for joining us. We will be back next week, and we will recap everything that goes on in the next few days here in Flower Branch, because Lord knows it's going to be a crazy, crazy few days.
That's what we live for, though.
That's exactly it. We got the coffee going already.
Yes.
Trying to build it up in our systems and
mm-hmm.
just keep it going.
We're going to have a IV drip in the corner of your office here.
Yep.
It's going to be fun, though. Can't wait.
Yep.
I'm sure everyone else can't wait, and we'll talk about it next week, right?
Yeah, and follow us on Twitter. That's where we'll be. Ask us questions, anything you want. Make sure to send your Honey Badger thoughts to Dave Choate. That's at the Falcoholic on Twitter. All right. Well, thanks again for joining us, and we will catch you next week.